All right, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Nathan Gobes, filling in for Jeffrey Davis while he's still away. Walt Sullivan is here for another segment of In the Weeds, and we have a great guest this morning, Andrea Cabral, CEO of Ascend Wellness.
And Ascend Mass.
Ascend Mass, excuse me, yeah. My apologies.
It's okay.
I say Mass Ascend and she corrects me.
Okay, we're all over the map.
There was a little confusion.
Somebody who's prolific in a lot of other ways as well. But Walter, do you want to get into it?
You know, Madam High Sheriff.
Yep.
Good. Andrea and I go back to 1987. Her in juvenile court, me working as an assistant clerk. I won't go into the stories of that. We were assistant DAs together.
Wow.
We were assistant attorney generals together. She became sheriff. She became secretary of public safety. You would think from there she would go to Disney World. but she doesn't seem to slow down.
No.
She's now the CEO of Ascend Mass, one of the leading marijuana businesses who came from nowhere in
it's a startup.
Quick time.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you explain a couple of things. One, how you go from chief law enforcement officer for Suffolk County to chief marijuana officer for Ascend Mass.
I think there are probably a few companies in Massachusetts that would challenge the chief marijuana officer part of that. But, you know, I've never had a problem with the legalization of marijuana. And in fact, I actually said it. I was being interviewed for a different show, and this was, I think, when the ballot question was just being maybe it was being talked about. I'm not sure whether or not it was already we were in the election or the voting cycle for it. But I remember saying it on the air and people being very surprised by that. But there's really no reason to not be for the legalization, regardless of your background. Now, as a practical matter, I think the last drug case I did was in Middlesex County. I lived there in 1991. From that point forward, my specialty
is domestic other trial
violence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sexual assault,
Operation
civil
Rescue.
Rights violations. Yeah. Yes. So I had different specialties, but I was never particularly fond of drug cases. But as you know, it depended in some respects, it depended on the county that you practiced in. So in Middlesex County, it was rare to see anybody be incarcerated for marijuana. If the marijuana charge was part and parcel of a slew of other charges, ultimately there might be a guilty finding on all of them and the person might serve time. But even then, I think even when we were there, a first offense marijuana possession was a mandatory continuance without a finding. I think it goes back that far. But in any event, there wasn't a huge emphasis on it in any event. So I just never felt, I always felt that cannabis had been demonized throughout history, and the fact its journey to becoming a Schedule I drug I thought was tortured and sort of fraught with xenophobia and some sort of economic considerations. So I never saw an issue with legalization and proper regulation.
And you go from there to being high sheriff, being the jailer for the county of Suffolk County, and as well as being secretary of public safety. I agree with you. I think that's a natural inroad as to where you're going after everything you've seen. Part of Ascend is also dealing with the economic empowerment issue, and you served on the Cannabis Advisory Board as well. Can you explain a little bit more about, as your role as sheriff, what you saw as the economic empowerment part and how Ascend is involved and committed to addressing wrongs?
Yeah, so I was appointed by Attorney General Healey to be on the Cannabis Advisory Board in 2017. I'm still sitting on the board. And as you know, in the regulations, there are social equity provisions carved out in the regulations, and the Cannabis Control Commission had designated economic empowerment applicants along with applicants who previously ran registered marijuana dispensaries, medical marijuana dispensaries, as priority licenses. Unfortunately, the window for people to apply as economic empowerment applicants was very, very short. It was just a couple of weeks in April. Huh. And so there's been some struggle around how to get certified as an economic empowerment applicant. And the reason why it's important is that this is a brand new industry. And it's very rare in the United States of America that you have something that is brand new and where if you work at it, you can level the playing field enough for everyone to have an opportunity to be part of this industry, particularly people who've been adversely affected by it, because clearly, I mean, the data is just unequivocal that enforcement of drug laws there's a huge disparity and a huge inequity, a race-based one, on the enforcement of drug laws. And the entire sort of war on drugs was primarily focused on specific groups of people. So it makes some sense for government to want to give better opportunity, but it's also going to be incumbent upon individual businesses because regulations can only go so far. And so, you know, for Ascend, it's important to me that Ascend is having those conversations, is bringing more people into the industry to diversify the industry, giving people an opportunity. And that's sort of part and parcel of what we've submitted to the CCC as our as part of our application. But I do, you know, a fair amount of forums and panels and sort of bringing light to the issue. And I speak about it frequently in the Cannabis Advisory Board.
And I do agree with you that the window is shut. You even found Somerville just put, City of Somerville just put out their proposal, and they're going to have a 2-year window for economic empowerment applicants in the RMDs located in Somerville. One of the things contained in their rules is even if you weren't certified by the state, the License Commission in Somerville can certify you, realizing that that window was shut and there are some people that may not have had that opportunity to apply. What would you advise an economic empowerment applicant, a social justice applicant, on how to move forward?
Well, I will say just at the outset that it is, it's not necessarily an easy process, although for most people, I think it's the cost of various things that are prohibitive. So the first I would start with going to the Cannabis Control Commission's website and finding out exactly what it takes to apply and sort of gathering all of that. It's like almost like doing your taxes, right? Mm-hmm. Have everything in front of you before you start to fill out anything. Know exactly what it is that you're going to be, who you're going to have as partners as you apply for a license. Although people can apply for licenses as individuals, but it's always better to have people who are going to be principals in the company with you with the application, but have all of your information and ask questions. Call the Cannabis Control Commission if there's things that you don't understand. Go to their frequently asked questions page. A lot of questions are answered there. And actually just browse the site to get an idea of where the state is coming from with these regulations. And the regulations are stringent. I mean, you compare them to regulations in other states, and we are clearly on the more rigid side. There are lots of things that you have to do in order to run a business like this. But that shouldn't discourage anyone. And the fact that cities and towns like Somerville and Cambridge and Boston's having conversations about it are developing their own economic empowerment criteria so you don't have to go to the state to be certified is a very, very big deal, and it broadens immeasurably the opportunities people will have.
What, I mean, one of the entry into business is money. As a business, you guys have committed to really helping people somewhat solve those problems, give them training, give them the ability to move forward. How do an economic empowerment applicant deal with that? Like, what can they do to convince a company to loan them money?
So we start from the point that because cannabis is still a Schedule I drug, there is no access to banking because, you know, banks run on a federal system. And they don't lend for a cannabis business. It's not that they don't want to, and it's certainly not that they don't want to take the revenues from the cannabis business. It's that they simply can't. So there are bills pending. Now that there's a Democratic majority in the House, there are bills pending on the federal level that would ease restrictions on banking and probably go a long way to helping people get what ordinarily people get, which is a small business loan, a commercial loan. So because of that, it's essentially left to private equity. Or if you can find an organization that deals that attracts social impact investors that are willing to invest in single entrepreneurs and essentially what would be an economic empowerment entrepreneur. And there are places like that. The Boston Impact Initiative is one of them. If people are interested, you should go to their website because they actually tell you who they've invested in. And they also have a separate pool for investors that are non-certified. So just as, you know, people of color would like to get into the industry on the application side and the license side, they would also like to get into the industry on the investment side, but it's tough unless you've got millions and millions of dollars to be a certified investor. Boston Impact Initiative has a pool of non-certified investors that people can join.
And that's the issue in the certified investor because of security exchange law and everything.
Yes, SEC law. And but while there are good reasons for that, it tends to exclude everyone except very well-moneyed people.
Right. I mean,
it keeps all of that investment money.
It's there to protect them, but at the same token, it does exclude.
Right. Right.
Now, let's get into Ascend. Ascend really came into this like wildfire. It really wasn't. It wasn't an RMD for years. It wasn't. All of a sudden, it just started applying in the middle of last year.
Mm-hmm.
How would you rate the success as to how they were able to move the company in the manner you were able to move it?
We have a good founder. I mean, Abner Curtin's our founder, and he's also he principally raises money for Ascend, and we sort of had a strategy to start with, you know, attract, especially in Massachusetts, everything you do is sort of local. So attract people to the company that are not only knowledgeable in the areas where you want them to perform in the company, but they're willing to be out and about in the community. They're willing to take part in sort of public discussions and become thought leaders around this stuff. And also be very deliberate on how you move forward. So, you know, we're fortunate that Ascend is well capitalized, and I think I can't sort of state that is a key component in how we've been able to sort of move forward. But we've employed other aspects of our strategy, which is trying to site dispensaries in places that are not just properly zoned, but where you can sort of get a sense before you go in as to how a community might react to it. And know what your community engagement has to be, know what your political engagement has to be, make sure that you're making all of those inroads. And first and foremost, know the process. Every city and town is developing its own process. So understanding what that entails and being completely prepared the first time you're before anyone representing that municipality to explain who you are, why you want to be there, and what it is you intend to bring to the city or town is crucial.
Well, I think you've been successful in the sense of you explain to people, yes, whole bunch of towns have laws, zoning ordinances that allow this. That doesn't necessarily mean the town wants you.
Exactly.
And that becomes an uphill battle. And so you're better off going to places that you know the community is reaching out. You're better off going to places that finding a location that really isn't going to be an issue and really have community involvement. I think you guys have been laser focused. I think you're at Cambridge, Boston, and you're looking at Brookline.
We probably won't end up being in Brookline, in part because of what you alluded to. Although I don't think the people who were sort of opposing it were representative of the entire precinct. But we've since found sort of a couple of we have our eye on a couple of other locations.
But wouldn't you say the Brookline issue is something that you really wouldn't necessarily have seen on the radar? I mean, you did your homework.
Right, right. And that, I mean, that there are places where you are going to encounter a lot of not in my backyard. So even places like where the site was in Brookline, which was, Brookline voted for it by a clear majority, and the individual precinct where the site was voted for it by a clear majority, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to get, you know, people that are going to want to oppose it and all of that other stuff. And you make decisions along the way as to what degree of effort you're going to put in for a particular site. And so, you know, where there are, if you're looking and you're doing your homework, there are places, other places where you would be more welcomed, where the city or town is looking forward to the revenue that it would derive. And you can sort of work with them. Sometimes it's better to do that.
I agree. I think, and I think the locations North Station.
Yeah, Friends Street,
East Cambridge.
And
now I guess now there's a third
East Cambridge, just like very, very close to where we were in the DA's office on Friends Street. Yeah,
it's nice. You can actually walk to where
and
the courthouse is still there, which is a problem for some of the people in the community there.
I know. How long has that been going on?
What would you say? So, it's a twofold question. One. You know, the issue on economic empowerment applicants, social justice, really is about money. But with that being said, it's about developing a business plan. What best advice could you give them? And then the next question would be, what's the best advice you can give to someone just looking to get into this business in general?
Well, in terms of a business plan, clearly you need to have one. You need to have a sense of and have people around you who know how to. If it's a retail dispensary, who know how to run a store. If it's a cultivation, clearly who know how to grow. The most recent talk for the with the Cannabis Advisory Board making recommendations to the CCC has been around delivery only licenses and social consumption, because those are licenses that at least in theory, and everything sort of remains to be played out, at least in theory are more accessible to people. You don't have to walk in with millions of dollars and, you know, people who are ready to be a CEO and a COO and a chief product officer and a retail specialist right off the bat. That's a lot to amass.
Yeah, that's a lot.
If you're talking about regular people getting into the business. So, delivery only licenses, while that we have to be, I think we should have them, but I think we need to be very careful about how we protect the people who are doing delivery only, as well as be mindful of the regulations, the seed to sale tracking, and that you're transporting a product that, create some issues. I think, we have to do that.
I find amazing on the delivery issue, and you found it more on DPH than cannabis control, but they follow, is that it's very strict as to what you need for delivery.
Mm-hmm.
OxyContin is delivered in a tractor trailer with one driver, a GPS system in it, but the truck can stop anywhere.
Right.
People are more likely to rob a tractor trailer with OxyContin in it than they are going to rob a van with marijuana, especially since you can grow it at home. So I think the rules can be a little bit looser, and I do agree with you. It's an entry into the business. We had Chris Walsh on the show from MJ Biz, and one of the recommendations he had was, don't get involved in the marijuana business itself. Get in the service industry. Mm-hmm. Get something that's going to serve it, and delivery is a way into it.
Delivery is definitely a way into it, and your point is so well taken that mostly what I find the difficulties that arise in dealing with cannabis, because we've regulated products forever. The difficulty is overcoming the fact that this has been illegal our whole lives. I mean, even with prohibition was a blip on the otherwise unprohibited market for alcohol.
We know what a failure that was.
Right, and it was a huge, really, people would make it in their bathtubs and die from it rather than not drink. So, I say this almost jokingly, but it's sort of true. I spend a great deal of time sort of managing people's feelings around cannabis because they are coming up against what they have been told their entire lives should be an historic aversion to it, mm-hmm. without understanding really, in some respects, the miracles that this plant might be capable of achieving, because as a Schedule I drug, it's by definition no therapeutic value. And so that we're way behind other places around the globe in research and figuring out.
Israel's amazing how.
It's a shame. It's truly, truly a shame, especially when you match that up against the reasons it was scheduled to begin with. Yes. It's a true stain, I think, on the country that this happened. But people have to get accustomed to it, and there's always caution, especially when it's government. And so, it will be what it is, and in 2 or 3 years, people will wonder why anyone ever really cared about this.
That is very true.
Well, these have been some amazing topics. I wish we had more time with you, but I know you've got to run off to NPR.
This is a better radio show to be on.
it's WGBH, which is one of two NPR stations.
That's true.
Yes.
Correct. And you're on Thursdays at noon, is that
Thursdays
correct?
Thursdays at noon, I do the Law and Order segment, which is invariably hugely depressing. I just laugh about it because all of my topics are like, oh my God, topics. But
yeah.
Everything we did in the DA's office.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
That's why they turned to you for the expertise. But we've been speaking to Andrea Cabral, CEO of Ascend Mass. This is Walter Sullivan with me here for In the Weeds. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be back after these messages.